Our reading this morning comes from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 20. We read from verse 1. The kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire men to work in his vineyard. He agreed to pay them a denarius for the day and sent them into his vineyard. About the third hour, he went out and saw others standing in the marketplace doing nothing. He told them, "You also go and work in my vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right." So they went. He went out again about the sixth hour and the ninth hour and did the same thing. About the 11th hour, he went out and found still others standing around. He asked them, "Why have you been standing here all day long doing nothing?" "Because no one has hired us," they answered. He said to them, "You also go and work in my vineyard." When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, "Call the workers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last one hired and going on to the first." The workers who were hired about the 11th hour came and each received a denarius. So when those came who were hired first, they expected to receive more. But each one of them also received a denarius. When they received it, they began to grumble against the landowner. "These men who were hired last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the work and the heat of the day." But he answered one of them, "Friend, I am not being unfair to you. Didn't you agree to work for a denarius? Take your pay and go. I want to give the man who was hired last the same as I gave you. Don't I have the right to do what I want with my own money, or are you envious because I am generous?" So the last will be first, and the first will be last. May the Lord bless to us at the reading from his holy word. Amen. This parable, which we read earlier, it's an amazing one. It really is. I remember when I was a young man many years ago, going to a United service in Presby. It was a weeknight. I think it was a United service of all the churches, and the president then of the Methodist Conference was preaching. And I remember just listening to him preaching on this text, on the generous landlord. I thought, I was working in industry then, in Ballinvall, in Austin Rover, and we were in the middle of some sort of dispute. We were always in the car industry, in disputes in the 1960s and 70s. Heather will remember as well, we were more on strike than we were on work. It was a very time of change, and industrial change, and it was a time where, you know, you didn't know where you were really. And of course the conflict went on for some time. Then I heard this sermon being preached about the generous landlord, of a man who went out to employ people. He went early in the morning at 6 o'clock, called people to work in his vineyard. He agreed on the payment of denarius, which was the standard rate of pay for a man's work in those days, for the whole of working day. 6 o'clock in the morning to 6 o'clock in the evening, a denarius. He goes back at 9 o'clock. He sees other men working there in the middle of the town. He says, "Would you like to come and work in my vineyard?" And they say, "Yes, we will." So off they went. 9 o'clock, midday, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and 5 o'clock in the evening, an hour left in the day. Subsequently, of course, at the end of the day, those who had worked all day at 6 o'clock in the morning saw that the men who had worked just for an hour being paid a denarius. It struck me then, gracious me, we'd have been on strike that day. Huh? We have been working all day long, the ones who had worked. And you're giving these people who have worked for an hour exactly, we've been working hard in the vineyard all of the day in the sun and in the heat, and you're paying them the same. And the owner of the vineyard said, "Well, yes. What's the problem? Are you jealous because I am generous?" And Jesus said, this is the very nature of the kingdom of God. Here was something that seemed unfair. Some would say it was unjust. It was very unusual. But the generous man who owned the vineyard decided that he would pay everyone the same. Why? Because it was his vineyard. And why? Because he could make that decision. There were no unions in those days, I don't suppose. And I remember the preacher that night speaking about the generosity of God in terms of this example we find in this parable. The very nature of the kingdom of God, which is one of generosity. And it's an amazing story when you think about it, and it must have caused great dissent to those who were hearing it and those who witnessed it. I wonder what the Pharisees and scribes would have said, because Jesus said, this is what the kingdom of God is like. This is what the kingdom of heaven is. It has to do with the amazing generosity of God, who has the authority to act according to his will. Now, if the Pharisees and scribes had been there, and if Jesus had applied that to the sort of kingdom theology that they believed in, they would have been affronted. Oh, they would have been so angry. We are the children of Abraham. We are the keepers of the law of Moses and the prophets. God gracious me, who are these people who are coming now? And you speak of a kingdom of generosity and love, and that God will accept them as they are. And then I thought, in the midst of that sermon that night, I thought, yes, that's it. I thought of the thief on the cross, the very last moment. Not baptized, never in a church meeting, nothing. And Jesus said, you're going to be with me in paradise tonight. That's the nature and the character of God. That's the generosity of God. And it's an amazing story, because it is. It confronts the norm. It makes us feel that there's an injustice here. It makes us question the whole concept of what the kingdom of God is like. And that's why it's such a relevant parable, I believe, to us as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, because we are those people who are the vanguard of the kingdom of God. We who believe in the coming of the kingdom of God. We who pray together every time we come together and say, thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. What is this kingdom? What are its virtues? What advantage is there of being citizens of this kingdom? In this dark and evil world where arrogance and greed and war and making more money and money again and the Mark Zuckerbergs of the world and all the problems that we've read of in the news this week, a billion and billions of pounds that seem to be that which is empire building. This is our kingdom. This is what we worship. Which has nothing to do with the very nature and character of the kingdom of God, which is a kingdom grounded in the eternal character and nature of God himself. The very truth of the word of God resounds with this truth. The reality finds itself in the words of Jesus, I believe, when he came to the synagogue in Nazareth. And you remember, he opened the prophecy of Isaiah, and he spoke about the one who would come to bring prisoners released, recovery of sight to the blind, of establishing compassion and grace as the hallmarks of the kingdom. And the Pharisees and scribes said, oh, who is he to do this? Isn't he Joseph's son? And then he closed the roll and he said, all this is fulfilled in me. It's fulfilled in me. In the Christ who came. In the Saviour born in lowliness and poverty in Bethlehem to confound the religious authorities of the day. In the one whose very nature and character exemplifies to us and reveals to us the very nature of God and the nature of his love and compassion and grace. This is the hallmarks of the kingdom. It has nothing to do with the world, dear friends. Absolutely nothing to do with a world that is built on sinking sand and will one day be destroyed forever, according to what the word of God declares. But those who are citizens of the kingdom of God, those who have entrusted themselves, recognizing sin, that they are sinners and have received from Christ the gift of eternal life, who have come to the cross and realized that the very nature and character of who they were has been dealt with once and for all. Your kingdom come. Pray tonight that we are citizens of that kingdom by faith. That we have followed Jesus. That we have made that step of faith this morning that takes us from the world of sin and rebelliousness and arrogance and evil and brought us into a kingdom that is of eternal worth. Do you know this is eternal? This is a gift of God for you, not only for now, but for eternity. This kingdom will be fulfilled in heaven. Because Jesus said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. This kingdom will unite us with those who are the saints who have gone before us and have entered into his keeping. This is the kingdom of the righteous God who will not allow death and evil and the grave to have the final word by the cross and resurrection of his Son. We are citizens of that kingdom by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So what can we learn from this? I'm not taking the points of that Methodist minister, by the way, okay? But what I'm doing is taking points from this particular parable itself. First of all, he owned the vineyard. Do you know we sing the children's song, don't we? He's got the whole wide world in his hands. Yeah, simple truth. But he has. He created it. He looked upon it, it was good. It was good. God delighted in that which he had created. He made man into the perfect Garden of Eden where there was no sign of sin. You know, Adam and Eve had no conception of sin. Even their nakedness was something that they saw as being absolutely without blemish. But then, of course, man rebelled. As man does rebel. And we see the consequences of that rebellion in the world today. We'll do things our way. We will build a Tower of Babel. We will conquer the world. And God confused them, confounded them. He called Noah to build an ark. And people mocked him. People mocked him. Oh, dear, dear. What are you doing, Noah? Far from the sea. But even his wife questioned him. Noah built an ark. Now, whatever you believe in terms of the story of Noah, it contains a confounding truth for me that the reality of that which occurred was there. You know, here was a man who was obedient to God. Here was one who heralded this kingdom. Here was the one who submitted to the will of God despite the condemnation of the world, despite those who mocked him. And you and I will find that situation in the world. We will be mocked for our faith. There are Christians who are dying for their faith. There are those who are standing up for Christ and being cruelly cast aside in society, in parliament, in local authorities. If someone speaks about Christ or preaches Christ now, in the streets of our cities, they can be prosecuted. It happened to a gentleman last week because he had a placard and was preaching in John 3:16. Put him in jail. Yeah, that's the world. That's the world that Noah came to, and yet he was faithful. He built that ark, and God honoured him. Dear friends, he is the one who created the ends of the earth. He is the one who said, let there be light, and there was light. He is the one who established this very nature and character of himself. He is the one who created all things, and he is worthy of our honour, praise and glory. Through the word of God we read of the way in which he has called people like Noah and the prophets, but in the final days has given us his son, that we might believe and trust in him, that we may follow his ways. Because it is a gift of God. And remember, dear friends, that God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that through him the world might be saved. That the gospel is preached to the salvation of souls, to bring people into the kingdom, to bring them into the ark of God's care. That on the seas, when they're rough, and when the waves are blowing, and when the darkness comes, and the lightning is striking the ark, we are kept by the grace of God as his church and as his people. And we are brought to a realization of this God who is worthy of all the praise and glory that he is worthy of. We have sung hymns today that reflect that King of the ages, Almighty God. Give him the glory and praise. For he is a redeeming God. He is a loving God. He will tolerate sin. Sin will be condemned. Evil will be punished. But to those who are in the ark of the covenant of grace, he will bring home unto himself. He's got the whole wide world in his hands. The second, dear friends, he can act according to his will. That's the next truth that we find here. He acts according to his will. God has spoken through his prophets, and in these final days has spoken to us through his son. That's the truth that we find in the word of God. And this is a parable. You notice that the owner of the vineyard, he was someone who did what he wanted to do. He acted upon his authority. And because of that, what happened was his generosity was shown clearly and profoundly to those who were listening that day. And the word of God reminds us that God, in the fullness of time, sent his son into the world to be our saviour. He is the one who has fulfilled that which he ordained in eternity to fulfil. And for that we give thanks to God today. God has acted according to his will. And that's what this man did. He was generous. He decided that he would do that, and that was something that he fulfilled. The word of God reminds us that before the The stars were formed before the planets were, that God ordained a way, why we who were far away might be brought near to him, and sending his Son into the world to be the means of our salvation. And that's why we celebrate and give thanks as the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, those who belong to him by faith. Jesus lived a life that displayed the very grace and love of God in so many ways. He healed the sick. He brought the reality of God's presence as a living experience to those who were the outcasts of society. That's what we read in the Word of God, and that which is profoundly true. And that's why in the church we need to be generous. That's why as the body of Christ we need to tolerate each other in love. That's why we have this challenge day by day to be different to the teachings of the world out there. You and I can't put the news on any day, can we? It's always bad news. Always. And particularly in the society in which we live in. We see injustice. We see the suffering of so many. We see the indignity that man suffers because of the oppression that is upon him by those around them. What is the nature of this kingdom then? What did this man decide to do? He decided to do something different, something that was out of the norm. And surely that's the call that's upon us as the people of God, because we have received grace to show grace and love to others along the way, because we are the family of God. And despite sometimes the differences we have, our love and tolerance of each other must shine through. It's my daughter's birthday in September, and yesterday we had a family gathering to celebrate her birthday. A bit premature, she's not quite 51. Oh, I'm going to rage away. So we, are you coming? You know, we were 13 for lunch yesterday. Now, if there's a weary look upon me this morning, you know why. 13 of us. Dude, the best crockery came out, you know? Yeah. I'll have a row when I go home now. Huh? And all these dishes, I think we put a table up, we laid for all of them, and then the children came and they came, and we had a lovely afternoon. It really was lovely, you know? And Yvonne was working hard, and I was doing my bit, and, you know? And the children were running wild in the house, like hooligans. Oh, running from room to room upstairs, having a whale of a time, playing the piano. You know, went to my office on the computer, which I was very aggrieved about. But then what can I do? And, you know, we had a lovely afternoon. It was a lovely time to come together. And she went on her way, and then eventually we were on our own again. And I looked at Yvonne, and she looked at me, and I said, "You tired?" I said, "I'm worn out. You do the washing up, okay?" But she did the washing up for me. She's, I know, we said then, oh, it was a lot of work, but oh, it was good. We did have a good day, you know. They all went, and we looked at each other and said, yeah, I'll be blessed. Ah, you and I are blessed this morning because we are part of this family, let me tell you. We are part of the family of God. We belong to him by faith. And sometimes the path is weary, decisions have to be made. Sometimes there are situations where perhaps we will not agree entirely with each other, but aren't we glad we belong to this family by faith? And don't we rejoice in the reality of that truth? This man acted in a way that was not conforming to the standards of the day. We do not act in the church as those who conform to the standards of the day. We are those who by faith have been called into this family. And those who have been here since babe in arms. Yeah? And those who have come rest recently. You're part of the family, let me tell you. You're part of the family of God. I remember in the backs when we had seats up there before we put the disablement ramp in and things, there were pews all the way back, and I can't remember, I think it was Mrs. Evans who lived in Oldcastle Road, and she said to me, I said to her, "Mrs. Evans, we're getting rid of those chairs." "Seats." "Well," she said, "I've sat in here since my mother brought me in babes in arms. What am I going to do now?" Well, I said, "Mrs. Evans, back, there's another 500 seats you can choose, okay?" And she smiled and laughed. And she moved just up a little bit, I remember. But you know, sometimes we can be a bit like that, can't we? We are the family of God. We've been redeemed by grace. Christ is in the midst. The Holy Spirit is working among us. We are the people of God.
Hallelujah.
And that's a truth that we proclaim as the people of God. We are the vanguard of the kingdom. We belong to each other for the purposes of grace. Grace that has met with us in our sin, has redeemed us from the pits of hell.
and brought us into a relationship with the God of the universe, the King of the ages, that Paul declared there is nothing that can ever separate us from his love. And that's the good news that this man proclaimed in this act of graciousness and kindness, because he recognized that and he knew that and he acted according to his character and nature. And God always acts by his character and nature, which is to love and receive sinners unto himself. The thief on the cross, today you will be with me in paradise. That's the good news to the kingdom of God in which we are a part. Isn't it a bright, bright to cael cymdeithas gyda'r sain? Privilege to belong to his people by faith. And then finally, it depends, he had the authority. In the end, he was the boss. He had the authority. Because it was his will. It was an authority grounded in love. It was an authority grounded in grace. It was authority that enabled these people to know that indeed they were those who would have to submit to his authority. The authority of God. The authority that Jesus declared of himself when he said, "Go preach the gospel to all creation, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit." It was the authority that was declared by the Father when the baptism of Jesus, his transfiguration on the Mount of Olives. "This is my Son, my beloved, in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him, and to him alone." In Jesus, the one to whom all authority has been given, the one who meets with you and I exactly where we are and redeems us from our sin and despondency, has brought us into this family. Weak, miserable sinners saved by the grace of God. And as that man concluded that sermon, Presby, all those years ago that was stayed with me, when I went back to work the following day, I thought to myself, gracious me, here I am, in the middle of all these industrial disputes, in all the claims and counterclaims and the threats of taking of strike and the dismay and the concern that was held for the future, I thought, I belong not to this, but I belong as a citizen of the kingdom of Christ. Greatest blessing of all. Dear friends, you and I are blessed today. We might be in the minority. We really are in this world. One day this truth will be expounded in eternity, and for that we give thanks to the God who has created us and given us life. And for all of us today, those who have recently come into the church, those who have been here for all of our days, let's remember we are workers in the vineyard. Let's remember that we are saved by grace, and let's be sure that the love of God sustains us and keeps us until that day when the trumpet shall sound, the kingdom will come, and we will be raised in eternity with him. That's the promise. For at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. I hope you are a worker in the vineyard, and I pray that you will know in your heart that you are saved by the grace of God. Amen. Thank you.